Let's begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may live it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, see the wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Realize entry 103 from volume 29, April 16th, 1931. My daughter, you should know that the acts done in my divine will are imperishable and inseparable from God, holding the constant remembrance that the soul has had the good to work together with a will that is divine, and that God has kept together with him, the creature, in order to have her work with his same divine will. This happy memory, operational and holy, makes us always keep in front of our eyes God and the soul, so that we can remain unforgettable one to the other, so much so that if the creature would have had the misfortune to go out from our will, would go roaming, would travel far away, nonetheless, she would feel the eye of her God over herself calling her tenderly, and her eye will be toward he who looks at her continually. And even though she might go roaming, she feels the irresistible need, the strong chains that pull her on the arms of her Creator. This happened to Adam, because the beginning of his life was done in my divine will. In spite of his sinning, he was chased from Eden. He roamed around all his life, but perhaps was he lost? Ah, no, because he felt over himself the power of our will in which he had worked. He felt our eye that watched him and that pulled his eye to look at us. And the dear memory of the fact that his early acts had had life in our will. You cannot understand all the good and what it means to work in our will. Working in it, the soul acquires so many pledges of infinite value for as many acts as she does in our fiat. And these pledges remain in God himself, because the creature doesn't have the capacity nor space where to hold them. So much is the value that they contain. And can you ever believe that while we are holding these pledges of infinite value of the creature, we should permit that she might become lost, she to whom these pledges so precious belong? Ah, no, no. Therefore, do not fear. The acts done in our volition are eternal bonds, chains not subject to break. And do you suppose that if you were to go out from our divine volition, that which won't be, you can go out, but your acts remain. They cannot go out because they have been done in our house. And the creature holds her rights as long as she is in our house, that is, in our will. As she goes out, she loses her rights. However, these acts will have so much power as to recall she who used to possess them. Hence, do not want to afflict the peace of your heart. Abandon yourself in me and do not fear. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. As you can see in this passage, in the same theme that we have been studying throughout this book of Adam, the writings of Adam. And each one of them, they give us, I think, a deeper understanding of what this gift of operating in God's will is. And through these passages, we study that gift through Adam, basically, by looking at the life of Adam in the state of grace. And this is what our Lord Jesus is talking about, always referring to Adam. That's why we have these passages. So with each one of them, we understand hopefully a little bit more and more what this gift is all about and what the Lord wants for us also, for each one of us. Before we go into this passage, I want just to mention some passages from the Catechism to be able to understand this one. In number 45, the Catechism tells us that man is made to live in communion with God, in whom he finds happiness. And then we have a quote from a passage from St. Augustine. The church uses this one. And this is what St. Augustine says in the Confessions. When I am completely united to you, there will be no more sorrow or trials. Entirely full of you, my life will be complete. Isn't that the saints, they have some notion already about this desire for God and different spiritualities. They are directed towards basically communion with God. So we have all these different spiritualities. For example, we have the spirituality of Saint Benedict that he found out that by following the rule to work and pray, he will find this communion with God. He will arrive to this communion with God. There is a passage in the Rule of Saint Benedict that says, forbidden to do your will. That's what Saint Benedict writes in those in what we call the Rule of Saint Benedict. One of them, I think, I'm not sure if it's number 5, I have to double check. It says, forbidden to do your will. And they didn't have this knowledge, but they have this notion, this understanding that yes, we are made to live in communion with God, in common union. And this common union is with the two wills. And now through these writings, we are able to understand this, what Saint Augustine was already thinking about, and he couldn't really understand as we are able to understand it now. So you see that these spiritualities, different saints, they have this notion that all of them, these spiritualities, they are meant to bring us, to help us arrive to this understanding, to this point of knowing how the two wills they operate. Basically, each one of us, we can say we are living the fulfillment of the Our Fathers. So we should be very happy, and we should realize that this is a blessing, that every time that we pray the Our Fathers, that prayer is being fulfilled in us as we pray that prayer. And with the understanding now, and with the understanding of how to enter into that common union of the two wills, that the divine will has always remained the same, never changed. Since the beginning, God desired to have communion with us. And after Adam departed from that union, God didn't change his mind. He's the same. He still wants communion with the creatures. But after the fall, the creature is not able to go back to that, to go back and be united again. Because now there is disharmony, there is disorders. So we needed somebody who will take this humanity and bring it back. So that's what we see in the person of our Lord Jesus. The church calls it the hypostatic union, the human and the divine operating together. That's the common union, the communion of the two wills. That's what we see in the person of our Lord Jesus. That's what we are able to understand now, that in his humanity, the two wills are in common union, in communion. So he's restoring that. And now he's been by paying with his own life, with his own blood. Now he's able to reconcile us and to bring all the human race. So in his humanity, we can say all of us are represented, opening the door for us to be able to now to go back and to enter, to be reunited. In the Catechism, in 399, this is what the Church says. Scripture portrays that the tragic consequences of this first disobedience. Adam and Eve immediately lost the grace of original holiness. And you have to ask, what's this grace of original holiness? Now, through these writings, we are able to understand that this grace that was lost was the union of the divine will with the human will. So Saint Augustine, Saint Benedict, Saint Francis of Assisi, and many others, Saint John of the Cross, all of them, Saint Teresa of Lisieux with a little way, they all try to arrive to this union, to have communion with God in their own way. But there was at one point in time, the spirituality of the Benedictines didn't exist. The Franciscan spirituality didn't exist, because that begins with Saint Francis. But there was never a moment that the divine will never exist. This is the original way of life. This is the original spirituality, we can say. So the other spiritualities, they should bring us to this, to arrive to the knowledge of this understanding, and then live that charism, that spirituality that we are called to live now in the divine will. It's not that you have to throw away and out of the window that spirituality. No, now By knowing this, this will ground that particular vocation, spirituality in which you have been called. So in the Catechism also, the Catechism tells us that Adam and Eve, they were constituted in this union. It's in 375. It's, they were constituted in the union of this original grace. And they lost this grace. So that we have to be reconstituted. If they were constituted in this grace and they lost it, now we have to be reconstituted or reconstructed. And this is the way to be reconstituted. That's why is the royal way. That's how our Lord Jesus mentioned that in the Book of Heaven. There are many paths to arrive to this understanding, but the divine will, the Book of Heaven, is the royal way to arrive to this understanding. So when we read in this passage, our Lord talks about that Adam, in the beginning, he possessed the union of this will operating, because he mentions that this is operating in him, and that these acts done in the divine will, they are imperishable and inseparable from God. Many people, sometimes they ask, well, if I'm doing acts in the divine will, and then for some reason, I stop doing acts in the divine will, what happened with those acts that I already did? The Lord gives us the answer here. Those acts that we do in the divine will, that are united in the divine will, that are done in union with the will of God, they remain, even if we go out, they remain, because now they enter into the eternal mode. The Lord says it very well here. He says, you can go out, but your acts remain. The challenge for us here in this way of living is to remain. Now through this understanding, we know how to enter in this way of operating in the divine will. And I always mention that famous passage of the Prevenient Act and the Actual Act, volume 14, May 27, 1922. The Lord explains how it is very easy for us to enter into that union, that he will supply, even if we forget during the day, as long as we have that desire and we express that desire, asking him to come and to operate in us, he will do it. And even if during the day you get distracted with work and so many things that we have to do, he will remain, he will supply. And so it is important for us really to understand that the center of this message of the whole Book of Heaven, the whole revelation, is that God wants to give us back the original grace, the original gift that we possess. And what is this gift? Is the union of the divine will with the human. And what happens when these two wills, they come together and they operate in harmony? Then God begins to share himself with the creatures. The divine participation. The creature begins to share in the divine life. God begins to share his divine life with the creature and enables the creature to receive. Again, going back to that passage of volume 14, the Lord says the soul expands and gives the soul a new capacity to receive and to receive, allowing God to continue in sharing his life with the creature, filling the life, filling the soul of the creature all the way to the point of overflowing, filled to the brim, overflowing always, always with this divine life. So that what happens in the sacraments remains basically in the soul of the creature at every moment by virtue of the two wills operating together. And then when that happens, then we arrive to basically the fulfillment of the Our Father, allowing God to fulfill that, to have that prayer fulfilled in us. Then we enter into that communion, and then basically the purpose of creation is done, is complete in each one of us, little by little, and it continues. We begin to operate as God designed us to operate since the beginning. We enter into the eternal mode of the divine will, basically. And in that way, God is able to see again. We become again, he's able to see in each one of us really the realization that we become really the summit of his creation. He's able to see that. Because as long as we remain living with our tiny, insignificant, ugly human will operating, basically we are living in slavery. We are being slaves of our own human will. So God created us to be the summit of his work. And this can be restored, or we are able to be reconstituted again only through this way of living. The other spiritualities, they should bring us to this. They help us. Even the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is the road to holiness also because they bring order in us. So in a way, the process of going back begins for us to reestablish that harmony that was lost. Because in the state of grace, Adam and Eve, they possess that harmony within themselves, with God, with each other, and with creation. So that's why also the reason for the Ten Commandments, because they help us to reorder ourselves towards God. In the Catechism also, in 358, we already read that in other sessions. Then the The church really tells us and help us understand that we have been created to love, to serve God, and to be able to return everything to Him. And unless we enter into this mode of being in that union, we will not be able to recall to Him, to give back to Him, to return to Him. Because it is the union of these two wills that enable us to be able to operate in that way. So when our Lord Jesus also mentions that Adam was chased from Eden, he says he roamed around all his life. And then he asks the question, basically, but perhaps was he lost? And then he says, no, he was not lost. Because even though he was not able to articulate what he was doing and pass it on unto the others, he was, the fall was so great that he was not able to articulate what he was doing before and teach it to the others. And plus, because the rupture, the separation, needed a redeemer, somebody who will reconcile us. All the sacrifices of the Old Testament, we can take that as a way of God teaching us basically to worship Him again and to, for us, is a way in which He will later on will help us understand what will happen on the cross. But this reconciliation was necessary. So Adam, our Lord says, he felt over himself the power of the divine will in which he had worked. Because the job of Adam before the fall was able to give back to God everything, to recognize everything that God had done out of love for him and to give it back. That's the way he was working. Very simple. He didn't have to sweat. He didn't have to that work was a joy for him. It wasn't really a work. It produced more joy in him every single time. Every single time that he was doing, recognizing everything, he felt that new joy in himself. This perhaps we can see through the hours of the Passion. There is a passage, I think it's in the third, and I mentioned it before, it's in the third hour of the Passion, in which Luisa Picaretta goes around and she takes the blood of our Lord Jesus and pours that blood of our Lord Jesus upon the souls in purgatory and upon many others. She describes everything that she is doing. And then at the end, she says, Blessed Mother, let me give you also this blood of our Lord, so that you may be filled with new graces, so that you may experience new joys, If the Blessed Mother is able to experience in herself new joy, new happiness, she being the one who carry our Lord, who contemplate him, who adore him, who enter into this ecstasy of love, basically adoring our Lord Jesus in the flesh, having him, nourishing him, is able to experience new joys, new happiness. She, the one who possesses this will operating in her by grace. Do you think we will be able to experience this? Of course. Because the will of God is eternal. There was never a moment that the will of God didn't exist. So that's why the need for us to acquire this new capacity that later on in this passage our Lord Jesus is talking about. He says, you cannot understand, Luisa, the good and what it means to work in our will. Through these writings, we are just trying to get little pieces and to try to understand with our limited intellect and understanding. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but you know what I mean. I'm trying to say that compared to God and Luisa Picarreta being taught by our Lord Jesus, basically being catechized and being formed by our Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus says, you cannot understand, Luisa, all the good and what it means to work in our will. Adam, he understood according to his capacity as much as he was able to understand and as much as he was able to grow in that time in which he remained in union with the divine will. But after he went out of that will, he basically, we can say, he lost his memory. He couldn't articulate and put it in words and teach it and pass it on to the others. And now with Luisa Picarreta, she's an example for us, like a prototype for us to learn how to enter into this eternal mode. And even if we, at the beginning, even if we go in and out, it should be for us a great consolation to know that these acts, they will remain with our Lord. This is a question that comes out a lot in the groups and with people. But our Lord answers this question here. He says it very clear. You can go out, yes, but your acts remain. So don't be discouraged. Try to persevere and to grow, because this is a process. Even Luisa Picarreta, she went in and out. And there is a time then when she experienced that mystical marriage and union with God, that then she's being confirmed in that union and she never goes out. She remains there. So this is for us also. She's an example for us that it is possible for a creature born in original sin to be able to possess the gift that Adam and Eve lost. So what's the gift? The divine will operating in us. And what happens when This gift operates in us. Well, God is able to share his life with the creatures at every moment, with every single tiny act. And the creature is able to now receive this new capacity. The new space in which God can deposit basically this divine life, his own life. Then the Lord also mentions here that as we do acts in the divine will, also he says the soul acquires new pledges of infinite value for as many acts as she does in our fiat. And these pledges remain in God himself. Why? Because the creature doesn't have the capacity. So as for many acts as we do, he expands our capacity, but he also pledges to give us more. And how do we expand? Through our acts in union with the divine will. And as long as we remain here, as long as we stay alive, the soul is able to expand and expand and expand because the divine will is constant movement. That's why he says, even the Psalms, they give us a little glimpse of this. It doesn't come to mind really the Psalm, the number, but there is a Psalm that says, the living gives you praise, oh God, but not the dead. Because it is through the living that he's able to repeat his life and he's able to expand the capacity of the creature to be able to put his life in the soul. Even St. Augustine also talks about the expansion of the soul. But now we come to understand this concept clearly through the writings of Luisa Picarreta. And another thing that is very important here is that even when you go out of the divine will, the Lord says those acts that you have already done in the divine will, they will serve as voices calling you back. So you may come back again. And he also mentions this concept of rights. And the creature holds her rights as long as she is in our house. Basically, the divine will, the possession of the divine will operating in us is our divine inheritance, is our divine right. And you see the justice of God here. Because God wants to, as a father, he wants to give all his children the same treasure. You know, when somebody dies and if they have children and they give more to one and less to other, then the disagreements, they begin and all this division, all of that. Why do you have more and why you and me so little, this and that? God wants to give the same treasure to everybody. Is the same gift for everybody. But now it is up to each one of us using our human will to take possession of our divine inheritance. So this is the justice of God that he's giving to all of us, the same gift, the same opportunity. And it is up to the creature to answer to that call, to that gift, to receive that gift. So through these writings, our Lord is calling us to receive the gift that we lost. That what Adam couldn't articulate, that what the people in the Old Testament couldn't receive because they needed a Messiah and they needed a Redeemer that has been accomplished on the cross already. And the knowledge of that divine science is here. And now we are able to live the promise of the Our Father in us at every moment. There is a passage in one of the letters of Luisa Picaretta that she mentions something like this, that we have to configure ourselves to Christ. And she says, if you suffer, don't be discouraged. Just as Jesus suffered, so I may suffer. Jesus was rejected. When you encounter rejection, rejected Jesus, rejected me. Abandoned Jesus, abandoned me. And like that. Jesus possessed this gift. Jesus in the possession of this gift. And us desiring this gift to operate in us. And he will grant it to us. And this is what he desires the most, to give to all the human race the original sanctity. And he has allowed all these sanctities to flourish in the church, that we may come to arrive to the understanding of this sanctity. This is the sanctity. The other ones are, we can say, human sanctities. But this is the original one. And this is what God wants to give to all of us. At the end, the Lord mentions this. As she goes out, she loses her rights. However, these acts will have so much power as to recall she who used to possess them. So those acts are voices that are constantly basically calling us. Come back, come back, come back, come back, come back. And then he mentions his heart. Excuse me. Hence, do not want to afflict the peace of your heart. Abandon yourself in me and do not fear. This phrase, do not be afraid, it appears so many times in the Gospels. Do not be afraid. Why? Remember that before the fall, they didn't experience fear. Fear enters into the world right after they sin. Fear is a consequence of the fall. Fear is a consequence of the fall, as is pain and the rest. So to abandon ourselves in the divine will, to let the Lord take over basically our acts, and to give that gift back to him, our will. Because this is, and on the other hand, this is the other, the gift that we took away from God. He never took our, he never took the gift that he gave us. What Adam did, basically, he, by choosing to depart from that union, he said no to God. And he took away that gift that he received, which is the human will, then chose to operate with that alone. But the divine will was always there seeking the creatures. So in a way, what we took away from God is our human will. God never took away his divine will from us. Remember another passage of this book that we are reading, he mentions that right after the fall, by departing from that union, basically, by doing that act, the punishment for that act was for everything to disappear, for all creation to disappear, to go back to nothing. But the divine will kept creation and everything in existence because the love for the creatures. So the divine will has never changed. Never. It's been always there calling us, calling us, calling us, calling us to back to go back to that union. Now it is possible for us to enter into that union because again, our Lord Jesus has paid the price for us with his own blood. That's the ultimate sacrifice. And he continues to do that, to reenact that act in every Eucharist. In every Eucharist, the act, the sacrifice of the cross is being reacted. And what is our Lord Jesus doing on the cross? He is offering himself to the Father to repair, so we may be able to be reconstituted. So we can say that at that sacrifice, with the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, where the whole human race is being reconstituted. And this is what happens in every Mass also. So now with this understanding, we are able to, every time that we go to Mass, now we understand that now I am able to bring my sacrifice, to offer my sacrifice, to offer my will as a sacrifice in union with this, with Jesus, so that that sacrifice that our Lord Jesus is offering, he's able to present my will also as a sacrifice. In that way, I become a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. So I offer myself in union with our Lord Jesus to God the Father. Or I ask the Blessed Virgin Mary, in union with your Son, offer me to the Father as a sacrifice. Because this is what the Blessed Mother was doing at the foot of the cross. She was offering herself in union with her Son. And she was offering her Son to the Father. So she's able to offer each one of us. In that way, She fulfills also her maternity towards us and towards God. In that way, we can say we become really the true children, the new children of what St. Paul talks about, the children of light. So this is the divine will, is our divine right, is the greatest gift that we can receive here. Because remember, it's the original state of grace, of holiness. And as I mentioned, the other spiritualities, they should help us to arrive to this understanding. And these will crown those spiritualities. But there was never a moment that the divine will didn't exist or will not exist. As long as we allow the divine will to operate in us right here, then we will be able to acquire that space and capacity so that one day we will be able to understand more. The more capacity we receive and we acquire here, the more we will be able to understand over there. Because of the veils will go out, will vanish. You will see things as they are, and you will understand things according to your capacity. So the way I like to see it is basically you have the concept here, and then over there, you receive basically the definition and understanding. Here you receive the little seed, and over there you see the whole thing with its fruits. So hopefully these passages, they help us understand that the central point is that God wants to give us this gift to all the human race. And that these passages, and together with the catechism, we understand how to enter there. And we see the harmony between the Book of Heaven and the doctrine of the Church expressed in the catechism and in sacred scriptures. So maybe we can finish with that, and then we can go to the letter for today.